I am practicing seeing things from a abundance mindset of, okay, well, what do we got going? What's working?
These are originally live chat sessions that I held, and you can join them in the future every Tuesdays at 5 p.m. PST on sales.n.pixels on Instagram. My name is Koji, and this is Sales and Pixels.
So my guest today is Arya Zarinkarg. Arya coaches and trains students at City College of San Francisco. He's born to refugee parents. He focused most of his career supporting communities, providing training, and connecting people to opportunities. In the past, he also worked at BAVAC, Peace Corps, where he also worked with small rural communities in the Dominican Republic. Hey, Arya.
Hey, Koji. Good afternoon to you, my brother. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much. All right. Let's dive in then. You have dedicated your career to support communities like LGBTQ+, immigrants, people of color, people with disabilities, and many others. I'm just curious about that. Like, what moved you to have that mission in your life?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. As someone who, you know, being born to refugee parents, yet growing up with a great deal of privilege, I always found myself drawn to service. I always felt myself drawn to helping others. And, you know, I think this is a very common experience when we're all growing up. We feel different, you know, especially when we go to school. I never felt popular. I never felt quote unquote cool. I very much felt like the weirdo on the outside. And that kind of translated into feeling like an underdog, right? And so that kind of put me on this path to service. And just through this path, it became very clear to me that there was a great deal of untapped communities that are being left out of narratives, just like the ones you mentioned. And for me, they're like me. They're underdogs, right? And for me, it's about just lifting up as many people as possible. And I wouldn't say that I started out like, yeah, I'm gonna work with these untapped communities. No, it was just more like, I'm going to work with anybody and everybody. And then I started learning and noticing trends and patterns that certain groups were being marginalized. And as a result, now I'm doing my best to still be as inclusive as possible and still want to work with anybody and everybody while at the same time acknowledging the path and experiences of untapped and marginalized organizations.
Got it. And do you remember some time in your life where you wanted this, or do you think this was always something that you wanted since you were a kid?
I've just always been really blown away and humbled by just the abundance that I've received in my life. And it's almost as if I could never be grateful enough. I could never show enough gratitude. And sometimes it's so overwhelming when I'm looking at all the things that I have in my life and all the experiences I've already garnered. And just looking at like my parents' experience and story, and I've looked at it really deeply, and it just all feels very serendipitous. It all feels very like, yes, this is my path. And I've just always been complimented by others that I'm really adept at holding space for people. I make people feel at ease, and I make people feel safe. And so that's something that I just try to not only be grateful for, but also to bring into my work. So no, there was never like one like pivotal moment, but I think it's just always a series of things that, you know, that builds upon each other.
Don't mind me asking you, like, your parents are originally from where?
My parents are originally from Iran. Yeah. And so, my father is half Iranian, Persian, and he's also half, his mom was from Azerbaijan. So they're referred to as Azeri. And so I guess technically that makes me 3/4 Persian and 1/4 Azeri.
Awesome. Very interesting. And you also worked at Peace Corps in Dominican Republic. I read a couple of articles and saw some of your declarations that this was a life-changing thing in your life. Why? So I would love to understand that.
Growing up in the United States, and where I'm from Irvine. And Irvine, California, you know, everyone who knows about it colloquially refers to it as a bubble, as it is an extremely safe city, an extremely great schools. It's the first planned community, one of the first planned communities in the United States. So very curated, right? And I'm sure a lot of the creative folks out in the studio audience know that feeling when something is like really curated. So then when I knew that, okay, I want to give back to the United States, this country that provided so much for my family, that provided so much for me as well, I was thinking of how I could be of service. And military did not vibe with me. Was not a fit for me, mostly because I'd like to view myself as a builder. And the agenda, the explicit agenda, was not a fit or a match for me. And so then when I learned about Peace Corps, it just was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Let me go and take my skills and gifts and resources and go somewhere and try to do that. And I didn't really have a preference of where I went or what I did. I just wanted to be sent and just help however I could. And so for me, going to the Dominican Republic was just such a very, very different experience than Irvine. You know, as we know, outside of the United States, the relationship with time is very, very different, right? Everything, you know, growing up in a place where everyone drives everywhere, and then, you know, everywhere in the Dominican Republic is based on public transportation, and it's not any kind of like scheduled public transportation. It's like, okay, here's this guagua, which is like a bus, you know, and it's a Volkswagen bus, and it's like, all right, we're not leaving until this thing fills up, you know? And so 3 hours later, I'm on my way to my destination. And so that's just very different, right? And then, of course, you know, speaking another language, being embedded in another culture.
And you learned Spanish, right?
Yeah. I mean, I truly believe that's where I learned Spanish. I was trained in Spanish, like everybody's trained in Spanish here in the United States, where you take classes at school. And I'll never forget when Peace Corps wanted to put me in a Spanish-speaking country. And at that point, I had not spoken Spanish in 7 years or 5 years at least. And I said, you want me to teach in Spanish? And they said, yeah. And I was like, okay. And I'm actually really grateful because, you know, growing up, we mostly spoke Farsi in the house. And when I started speaking Farsi at a young age, it built a separate part of my brain where I could learn languages quickly and put them to use. So yes, when I got to training, I was in like the bottom was in the bottom training group of Spanish. And then, but by the time I was done, I was dreaming in Spanish. And so that made me feel like, okay, well, I've learned something here.
That's awesome. Interesting experience. And you stayed there for
27 months. 27 months, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Awesome. Okay. And another thing that I, you know, was like searching about you and your personal motto, you say, is being polite, positive, and professional at all times. How to keep positive in 2020?
Yeah. Yes. I think it's about recognizing every day is going to be different. Some days staying positive is, you know, taking care of someone else. Some days being positive is taking care of yourself. I think what I've observed how to stay positive is it's a practice. Like everything is a practice. Can you wake up and observe, you know, the blessing that is your ability to breathe? Can you wake up and observe the blessing that is your body, regardless of what state it's in? Can you wake up and observe the blessing that is running water, right? For those of us who've lived outside of the United States, we know running water and electricity, consistent electricity, are just, they come and they go. Very much aligned with the universe in the state of impermanence. So small things like that. And then I think it's also about taking moments and to look at the little details of things, right? Where, okay, last week there was red sky and it's really scary to wake up and it's 8 a.m. and it looks like it's like 5 a.m., right? And then after that initial, through, you know, deep breathing for me, it's like after that initial moment fades, it's looking at it with curiosity and saying like, wow, like I have never seen anything like this before. This is very interesting. And so it's about practicing trying to transmute every experience into a gift, regardless of how intense it may feel in the moment. And then I think it's just a lot of like joy and silliness, right? So what are the things we can all do to just have a little fun every day when we have the energy to be joyful, right? You know, is it dancing? Is it singing? Is it making a funny face? Is it just, you know, yelling really loudly? Whatever may serve you, because it's different for every person and it's different every day. And then I also think it's about observing what's not wrong, right? We're very much conditioned to be looking at things from a scarcity mindset. And I think that's very common in a lot of the work sectors of San Francisco and the Bay Area at large, is looking at, well, what needs to be fixed? And I am practicing seeing things from a abundance mindset of, okay, well, what do we got going? What's working, right? What am I? What do I have? And that's very much a practice, and it's a strengths-based approach to things instead of a deficit. So those would be my suggestions on how to stay positive. And also remember that this too shall pass. This too shall pass, right? The humanity has lived through a pandemic before. In fact, a couple of pandemics. It's not the first one. And we've arrived here. So that means, can we continue to be heart-focused and stay here in our hearts? I'm pointing to my heart. You can't see that. And just practice being generous, nourishing yourself and others, causing no harm to self and others, and ease the suffering of self and others, whatever, wherever possible. And ultimately, responding instead of reacting, which I think is the most challenging piece for us humans sometimes, is when our minds are agitated, we react. We react instead of respond.
Wow. Very inspiring. I think that I really like how you approach into this, because in the end of the day, I think it's all about perspective, right? Like if you go to the micro details, and you can see that things still work, right? And if you look at the macro details too, like if you look at the history of humankind, this is just like what it is, like 0.001% what we're going through right now. And I think putting in perspective helps a lot. And that's what I personally used to do a lot when I was upset with something back in Brazil when I was growing up, to just try to put things in perspective a little bit. Like I used to look at the sky and like, oh, okay, we're just like a small part of the matter in the planet. And I'm worrying about, you know, something that doesn't necessarily will, you know, make any difference in the rest of the galaxy or whatever. And I think when you put in perspective, it just helps you to reframe a little bit the things as not necessarily problems, but as part of something bigger or something smaller sometimes.
Yeah. And as someone who has the same mindset, of course, like powerful minds will also go to this place of like shame, right? Where you're like, oh my God, why am I tripping out about this thing when there's all many other things, you know? And then when you get there, you're like, okay, well, no, my feelings are as valid as anybody else's and anybody else's experience. If we acknowledge that suffering is suffering and it applies to all of us, regardless of the intensity or perceived intensity of it, it's still the same. And then you have to practice self-compassion there and say, no, it's okay. It's okay to feel what I'm feeling right now, and it will pass.
Yeah, for sure. Great. I love that. I think acknowledging what we are humans, and of course, like we need to go through some processes, and sometimes suffering is part of that. I think it's a very important piece. I know you prepared a lot of people to get their first jobs in US. For many people in the design field, especially, I have a lot of followers here who are in the design/liberal arts field. Do you see any common areas of improvement when you talk with people in that area? Like, do you see any patterns or any specific things that maybe they're not prepared for when they go to the market and when they get the first job?
Yeah. First, I'd like to speak to everybody as a creative tribe, because we're all creatives, right? We are all perfectly imperfect. I will say that again. We are all perfectly imperfect. And this false narrative of perfection is causing so much harm to us. I go to the extreme and use the term perfection is fascism. It controls us, it manipulates us, it makes us act in ways that are not our natural state, right? And the way this manifests, I see with creatives, is like everything has to be absolutely perfect before I even take a first step. And that is not the natural state of humans, right? Like we were like moving around on our bellies before we crawled, and then we crawled before we walked, you know what I mean? And then we walked before we run. So my invitation is, you have a gift, you have a talent, just do it. Do it with abandon. And when I say abandon, just do it and don't even think about the expectations of results. Because as creatives, especially designers, you're going to get feedback anyway. Someone's going to tell you something about what you're doing. And then you can decide whether or not that's valid and you adjust and adapt, or you say, nah, I'm cool. And so I see this concept of perfection creating fear and anxiety to even show up and take the first step. So my biggest invitation to my creative tribe is, are you having fun? Because if you're not having fun, then you're not in flow. And if you're not in flow, your true gift and true light cannot come forward, right? So that would be number one. And just to give you a personal example, the way this manifests is I play music. And I play bass in a band called Manos Lindas. And I am not trained in music theory, and yet I play music with like some amazing musical savants, right? And my approach to when I write something is, does this sound cool? Do I like want to listen to it? Am I excited about it? And then I bring it to my drummer and my violin player. And, you know, my drummer he's a prime example. He's one of the main teachers I've had as far as this concept of perfection, where until it feels perfect in his mind, he cannot take a step forward, you know? And I just keep running. I'm like, bro, just have fun, bro. Like, it's going to be okay. Even when we come to record, you know, when we come to record, it's like, no, not every fill needs to sound exactly on, you know, because we know music is algorithmically driven these days. People aren't sitting and spending the time dissecting albums in the way that they used to. So just do something that's going to sound cool that you're proud of in this moment. And then we play a show. You know you're not going to play it exactly the same anyway, right? And so just come and have fun. And then on the flip side, you know, when I share this music with my violin player, who is like classically trained, you know, like from birth was like groomed and primed to be a musician, right? Like mom was a piano teacher. She took violin, piano, vocal all her life, went to, you know, Cal for music. Now she's a music analyst at Pandora, right? And when I share her things, she's like, oh, okay, cool. And I try to describe things to her in like feelings and energy and vibe. And then sometimes she's like, what key is this in? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you the answer to this question, right? And so we've kind of come to a place where we're having fun. We're enjoying ourselves more than we are sitting and trying to like make something, you know, super technical or whatever. I will also acknowledge too that we're an instrumental rock band. And so it's a little easier for us to kind of like fluidly step in and out of things versus someone who has to sit down and write lyrics. So one thing I've observed amongst my creative tribe is this obsession with perfection keeps us from taking a first step. And my invitation is create your content and have fun. Share it with others. You get the feedback. You decide whether or not the feedback serves you. That's number one. Number two, the thing I've observed, especially with people who come to this country who are new to the American experience, is this, and it's kind of related to this perfection thing now that I think about it, is this fear of, I don't speak English perfectly, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I will be the first to admit that this country, for whatever reason, has this like silly expectation that everyone should speak English perfectly. Even I do not speak English perfectly, and I am born here, right? I would argue that most people who have this expectation of people do not speak English perfectly. So that's interesting. I invite those who've come to this country brand new to think about this. You have moved to a country where you don't know the language, you have some sense of what the culture is, and you are seeking out success in a dream. Those are three unbelievably powerful experiences and stories to be talking about and leaning into, and recognize that those are strengths. Most people, regardless of where they're from, would not have the courage to move to another country and learn another language, learn another culture to pursue a dream of theirs. And, you know, one thing I learned very quickly in the Dominican Republic is that statement that, or that statistic that 80% of communication is nonverbal is so true. It's so true. I remember doing like a video blog And, you know, I was just walking around my community and, you know, I was just talking to someone, one of my friends that I had made. And one of my friends back home observed this and said, like, wow, Arya, your like personality is very much coming through, even though, you know, I know that your Spanish isn't perfect. You know, your Spanish isn't perfect, but people are totally understanding who you are. And so I invite you to just let go. And you will learn English in time. And for the record, English is on par with Chinese and Russian, you know, as far as being able to understand and learn the conjugation and all the various forms. And the sentence structure is so boring, you know, like I love the Romance based languages because it's so poetic and it's just like so much more descriptive and alive. So those are kind of the two major things that I've learned. And the third piece I would say for everybody, regardless of sector, especially when it comes to looking for work, is hiring is arbitrary and it is discriminatory, right? When I was out of work, when I came out of grad school, and it took me, you know, 8-9 months to find a job, and this was during the recession, and we didn't even know it was a recession then, right? I can't even tell you, Koji, how much personal beating up of myself that I did to then only realize much later, no, that had nothing to do with me. That is just the nature of this process. The nature of this process is arbitrary, like who says yes to you and who says no to you as far as like getting a job. So if we know perfection creates mischief and we know that hiring is arbitrary and it's discriminatory, how do we have fun creating the content that we're doing, stepping into flow, and most importantly, connecting with others and sharing our experiences and stories with others so that people are like, oh, wow, yeah, this person's interesting. Let's give them a shot.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, this is very exciting to hear from you. I think a lot of people who are following us here in this channel, they have a lot of questions around, you know, first job and how do I overcome my fears? I totally can relate to that because as I did fine arts in school, then I transitioned to design. I think the first step is actually the hardest, you know, to just like show up your work. And there's actually a book about this, like how do you show up your work the first time, or how do you unveil the things that maybe you do for yourself. A lot of poets and musicians and artists, they start by just doing things for themselves, and it really takes some time to be able to show to a broader public because we're so afraid of judgment all the time. So I think like overcoming that judgment, it's definitely like one of the key things.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So I know you may have a lot of tips to give to someone who are maybe fresh from college, and it is especially hard when you like getting out of college, even if you do like design or UX design. I get a lot of people, and I do mentorship sessions with several students and people who just finished their college degree to get their first job. And oh, Mission Grads is thanking us. That's great. And yeah, it's great. Great moment here to see that Mission Grads is also following the live today. That's awesome. Okay, so do you have any tips for someone, let's say if I just finished graduation right now, how do I get my first job and how to overcome that like first gap in experience, which I know is very hard. Like most of the jobs require some sort of experience.
Yes. Okay. It's kind of a 3, sometimes 4-prong approach. First is you need to be creating content, regardless of if you're getting paid for it or not. You love this thing, you're making it, okay? You're a designer, design some stuff. You're a video person, shoot some video. You're an editor, edit some stuff. You're a photographer, photograph some stuff, whatever it is, you're creating content. So first prong approach, you're creating content. Then you need to take said content and put it in a place, a website is when I say place, not in a physical briefcase, but in a website. Okay. Then I invite you to start thinking about, okay, what do I like to do for fun? And how does that translate into product or industry, product or service provided or industry? So for example, I'm a graphic designer and I'm also a musician. Example, I'm not a graphic designer. I love music and I have graphic design skills. Okay, cool. So where can I find opportunities in music, right? First you start with all the large companies. You've got your Pandoras, your Spotify's, your SoundClouds, your Bandcamps, so on and so forth. And then you can parse it down even smaller and start looking at record labels. You could parse it down even smaller and look at music venues. You could parse it down even smaller and start looking at individual musicians. All these places that I just named have a need for design, right? The beautiful part about us as a creative tribe is that even though we're not an industry per se, we are in every industry. Every single organization, be it a one-person show to a million-person show, needs collateral, right? They need marketing, they need branding, they need all of it. So you have those skills. Just think about what you do for fun, because that's going to help you narrow down, like, okay, if I love ice cream, what flavor of ice cream am I really trying to get? So if I'm continuing with this music talk, music analogy, then you start brainstorming, okay, what's on the nonprofit side that I could do? You know, there's nonprofits like School of Rock that teaches young people how to play music. There's individual music teachers. There's music programs in schools. So this will kind of give you a general target. And then what it's about is trying to find people who do this work, either this specific job of graphic design, or you're working in one of these industries and you set up what's called an informational interview, where you sit down and talk to someone who has a job, skill, company, industry that you want to work for, or learn more about. And you're doing two things. You're asking questions to learn more, and then you're also charming them into wanting to help you. So what ends up happening is you're creating content, and you're collecting data for your job search, and you're kind of applying both of these through your process. And eventually, through this process, someone will say, hey, Koji, I got this project. You want to come and get involved on it? And it could be for free. It could be paid. It could be a contract job. It could be an internship. It could be a full-time job. Doing this process consistently versus applying cold, and when I say apply cold, I mean going to job boards, is so much more effective and energizing than banging out cover letters and resumes in your windowless room, especially if you live in San Francisco, right? Like, I can't even tell you, when I was looking for work, the most demoralizing experience is being 25 years old and living with your parents and your dad coming home and being like, how many jobs did you apply to today? And you tell him 5 and he's like, that's not enough. You need to apply to 10. And you're just like, 10 jobs? My God, right? So for those of you who are coming out of school, create content, put it in a website, think about what you like to do for fun. How does that translate to an industry? And remember, industry is defined as product or service provided. So an example is, we talk about technology being an industry. From where I sit, technology is a platform, or it's a tool to facilitate a product or service. Uber is not a tech company. Uber is a transportation or on-demand company. You start thinking about industries that way. Then, who do I know in my own personal network, or maybe in my extended network, that knows someone who works at these places? And can I get introductions for people to introduce them to me so I can ask them questions and learn? This is the fastest and most efficient way to find work. And I will also put in a plug that networking with each other creates momentum so much faster. So you're a graphic designer who knows a musician, who knows a photographer, who knows a branding person, right? Who knows a fashion designer. Guess what? You all can feed each other through a symbiosis, right? The graphic designer creates content for the musician. The fashion designer creates content for the graphic designer. The photographer creates content for the graphic designer, the fashion designer, and the musician, right? It's a symbiosis. And I find those are usually the quick and easy wins you can get to then have a portfolio to demonstrate to others, like, hey, I'm technically competent.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a support network, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. And as you prepare many people for the workforce, what do you hope they will take from your trainings to their workplace daily life? Because one is to get a job, and the other one is to really like make some difference, right? So what do you hope for them?
I hope that, you know, as I mentioned before, they nourish themselves and others, cause no harm to self and others, and ease the suffering of self and others whenever, wherever possible. It is my intention and manifestation that we practice radical inclusivity. And so that means including your enemies or your perceived enemies in everything you do, because they too are suffering just like you. They are you. You are them. And really just normalizing that this concept of perfect imperfection, perfectly imperfect, that your natural state of how you show up in that moment is enough. That's kind of for me, like if I could have one wish from anybody who comes and engages with me, is they kind of, you know, would be it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Arya, this has been awesome. Fantastic. Like, I found this conversation super inspiring, and you definitely like opened my mind to a lot of things. So thanks for your time. But we have a limit with Instagram Live, and we're gonna maybe kicked out if we don't wrap up. So I want to make sure we have the time to wrap up. And I want to give you some space if you want to share something, or if you want to leave contacts, whatever you want to do, pitch again for Mission Graduates, whatever you want to do, it's your space. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I want to thank Team Cells and Pixels, which is Koji Pereira and Taisa Fernandez, for inviting me to come and speak. So mad applausos for you two. I know you're doing a lot of work on your end. Number two is, yes, I'd like to pitch missiongraduates.org/donate. Again, that's missiongraduates.org/donate, missiongraduates.org/donate. I want to say hi to my friend Sam Atal from Sam Atal Photography, who just joined. Hi, Sam. I see you and I love you. You know, I've already said the things. Nourish yourself and others. Cause no harm to self and others. Ease the suffering of self and others as much as possible, whenever, wherever possible. Do your best. Remember that, and then let go of expectations of results, right? If you want to hear some cool music, I guess you could go to our Instagram, Manos Lindas Music, and listen to some music there. We're releasing a new album on the fall equinox, so that's a week from today. It'll be a short EP. Just, you are seen, you are known, you are validated, and you are loved. Remember, remember, remember.
Awesome. Great words. Thank you so much, Arya.
My name is Koji, and this is Cells and Pixels. Every Tuesdays at 5 p.m. PST on cells.n.pixels on Instagram. Thanks for listening.